this, but I just feel like that it's important. You know, I feel like that if we're expecting miracles, and I truly am expecting God to move and heal and perform miracles in this house, and if we are truly expecting those things, then we need to be talking about them, right? We need to be talking about the miracles that Jesus performed. In John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father." Well, how are we supposed to do greater or the same if we don't know what he did? We have to know what he did. And so if we believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we need to know what he did so that we can try to see those things happen. But it's, you know, we started in Matthew chapter 8, and we've moved through the miracles of Matthew chapter 8, and we looked at Jesus freeing the guy with a legion of demons, and people lost their minds, and they run Jesus off. And last week, we looked at the rooftop faith, where the guys cut a hole in the roof and got their friend to Jesus. You all need friends that are going to do whatever it takes to get you to Jesus. But the story we're going to look at today is also, just as the story last week, it's covered in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we're going to start in Matthew chapter 9. It says, "As Jesus was saying this, the leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him. 'My daughter has just died,' he said, 'but you can bring her back to life again if you come and lay your hands on her.' So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. And just then, a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him, and she touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, 'If I can touch just touch his robe, I will be healed.' And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well.' And the woman was healed at that moment. And when Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music, and he told them to get out. 'This girl isn't dead, she's only asleep.' But the crowd laughed at him, and the crowd was put outside. However, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up, and the report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside." Matthew is your typical cut and dry guy, right? I think that Matthew and I would be great friends, because when he tells a story, he doesn't just build up a bunch of details. He doesn't tell you all the details. He tells you what happened. That's it. But for today, I need more details, right? I need it to be like when one of my kids who tells me a story has to tell me three backstories to get to where we're going. Someone's arm could be bleeding and chopped off and bleeding in the parking lot, and she would tell me three stories before we got to the point that the arm was cut off. And I would say, "You have to lead with that." Right? Mark and Luke, though, they're more descriptive when they tell these stories, and they're more descriptive of these miracles. And today, as I was getting ready for today, there was things that, in my opinion, are important details that Matthew left out. He just told you what happened and nothing else. And that's good. I like those kind of stories. But for this today, we need more. I mean, Matthew, just a little thing. Matthew puts this story after the rooftop. Luke puts this story right after Legion. And so in Luke chapter 8, verse 40, it says, "On the other side of the lake," they're on the other side of the lake because they just left Legion, "the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting on him. Then a man named Jairus," this is important, "a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. He said his only daughter," also an important point, "who was about 12 years old, was dying. And as Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and then she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, 'Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone deliberately touched me.'" That's good. Deliberately. It wasn't an accident. I know all these people are accidentally bumping into me, but this was a deliberate touch. This was on purpose. "For I felt the healing power go out from me. And when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And, "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and he told her, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus heard what had happened, and he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith. She will be healed." And when they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the little girl's father and mother. And the house was filled with people weeping and wailing. But he said, "Stop this weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. And then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned, and she immediately stood up. And then Jesus told them to give her something to eat, and her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. This is two miracles in one, right? This story is really two miracles in one passage. They could probably be standalone Hallmark movies. I mean, they both have desperate characters with very little depth. Despite that fact, they could have stood alone. They were together. They were together. And there's stories in the scripture where it's like in the middle of the story, there's something else that's happening. And this is one of those moments where we're at the beginning, we're going to Jairus' house. In the middle, we see a miracle. And at the end, we end up at Jairus' house. The middle story doesn't take away from the main story, but it helps to lend more backstory, more depth to what's happening. Verse 40, it says, "On the other side of the lake, the crowds came and welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. And a man called Jairus, the leader of the local synagogue, fell at his feet and pleading for him to come home with him. And he said his daughter was dying, right? And he's begging him to come with him. And she's 12 years old. And then he's in the middle of a crowd, and a woman who has battled and suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding touches his robe. And he's like, "Someone deliberately touched me. Who was it that deliberately touched me?" This lady had a story. She had been suffering for 12 years. She had been to so many doctors. Mark says she had suffered a great deal from many doctors over the years. So it wasn't just that she was suffering from what she had, the issues that she had. She was suffering from what the doctors were making her or doing to her. I know that feeling. Doctors don't always make it better, right? Sometimes they add to the pain. In fact, it says that she hadn't gotten better, but in fact she got worse. When it says she suffers a great deal from many doctors, this time period was riddled with bad practices. They treated people, they did crazy stuff. But if you were a woman, they especially did crazy stuff to you. And she went to these doctors and spent all of her money for them to most likely tell her to do some ridiculous thing, like boiling certain types of onions in wine or fetching barley out of a white donkey's poop holding it for 3 days. This is, y'all laugh, this is really stuff that they told them to do. And out of desperation, she would have tried it, right? When you're desperate, you'll try things. And all out of her desperation, she tried these odd and weird things that the doctors were telling her to do with no avail. She only got worse. So she's broke, she's humiliated, she's hopeless, she's tried everything else. She needs a breakthrough in a bad way. She hears about Jesus and figures, "I've exhausted all other resources. Let's try Jesus." Verse 34 of Mark, he says, chapter 5, verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." He says, "Your suffering is over." She had tried everything. She's like us. She tried everything else and nothing works. So maybe Jesus will work. Maybe he can help. And we do the same thing. We exhaust all of the resources before turning to Him. We try the 12-step programs, the self-help books. We've tried this and that, and nothing's happened. Nothing's worked. How many times has someone told you, "I'll come to church when I get myself right"? No, you won't. You won't ever come to church because you can never get yourself right. The only thing that will get you right is Jesus. Turn to Him and let Him help you. We make excuses of why we won't come to Him, and we've tried everything and it's still not working, and we're wondering why it's not working. Maybe it's time to try Him. When you're desperate, you'll try weird things, crazy things. This lady had tried everything. She was suffering. I know a lady who went to a doctor out of country, and the doctor told her in order to lose weight that they were going to put urine under her tongue every day for however many days, and that was going to help her lose weight. I'm not making this up at all. This is a true story. And when she told me this, I laughed because I was like, man, they did you do it? She said, yeah. I said, did it work? No. Then, yep, they got you. But that's the kind of weird stuff they were telling this lady to do, I'm sure. Well, if you do this, it'll stop. No. Go to Jesus. Let's back to Jairus' daughter. We'll start talking about this. Luke chapter 8, verse 49, it says, while he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and he told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now. But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. She will be healed. Breakthrough happens, and again, the enemy attacks, but he can't win. This woman was healed after 12 years of suffering. She got her breakthrough, and before they could get done celebrating, the word comes that the little girl is dead. He attacks, but remember, he can't win. Some of the worst attacks that I've experienced in my life have been after a great miracle has just happened, or right before a great miracle happened. Jairus was desperate for his daughter's healing. He was desperate for a breakthrough, and she was dying. He believed that Jesus could heal her. And when people get desperate, their whole thought process changes. They do things that they wouldn't normally do, like I said a while ago. It may be that Jairus would have never gone to Jesus on a regular day. It may be that he would have never asked someone for help. But today he found himself in a desperate situation. And when you're desperate, you'll do anything. When you're desperate, turning to Jesus should be our first step, although that's not always the case. Have you ever been so desperate for something that you would have done anything? So desperate that you would have done something completely out of character, like getting barley out of donkey poop, carrying it around for 3 days? Sometimes it takes us getting to that point so that God can do the miraculous in our lives. I remember the first, I don't know, no, maybe not the first time, but when I had kidney stones at one point, I was in a lot of pain. And I had this lady tell me to drink this concoction that I will never drink it again. I don't even know what was all in it, but I remember thinking, this is worse than the kidney stone, and I will never do this again, and it did not relieve my pain at all. But I was desperate. I would have tried anything. It didn't work. This guy, he's pleading. Jairus is pleading with Jesus. This was his last hope to see his daughter healed. And what a great faith he had. This is the last hope. Do you have the same faith and hope that God can meet your need, regardless of what it is? When the men came and said, your daughter has died, stop bothering Jesus, I'm sure the air fell out of his sails. I'm sure he lost hope. Even after just seeing this lady with the issue of blood healed, I'm sure he felt defeated. Maybe you're here this morning and you have decided that you're done fighting, that you are ready to give up, that you don't, that it's just no use. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. Get ready. Get ready for a breakthrough. Prepare yourself for a breakthrough. he's been told your daughter is dead, and Jesus heard the conversation, and he said, Jairus, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. It's easy for us to say things like that. It's harder to walk it out. It's easy for Jesus to look at Jairus and tell Jairus, don't worry. Don't be afraid. It's okay. She's going to be healed. It's harder for us to walk those things out. Sometimes it's really not a faith thing. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we can have the faith that Jesus can do it, but our mind plays tricks on us and says, but I don't know that he will. Just have to keep the faith and not be afraid and trust him that he's in control and that he'll take control of the situation. Think about the things in your life that have been told to you. That you've prayed and you've sought God and you've had faith, and then the wind is taken out of your sails. The cancer's back. I'm sorry, but we no longer need you. Here's your last check. What kind of fear would you have? Would you still have the same hope that you had prior to that? But Jesus had overheard what the doctors had said, and he knows what the boss has said and what the person on the other line has said. And he's saying, don't be afraid. Just have faith. There have been moments in my life that I've gotten a phone call or something has happened and I've looked at it and gone, I don't know what, I know God's in control, but this ain't fun. I don't want to do this. I don't want to not have faith, but at the same time, it's hard sometimes, right? There were times when we were evangelists that a pastor would call on a Friday night and cancel us. I'm like, man, it's hard to have faith that God's going to take care of us this week when we got all these bills coming and we don't have anywhere to go. And God always showed up. He always showed up. Jesus' response was to encourage the Father's faith, even in his seamlessly hopeless situations. See, with Jesus, there's always hope, even when it feels that it's done. Look at the lady, this lady, 12 years of suffering gone in an instant. She suffered no more. Legion couldn't be subdued. He couldn't be around people. Yet in an instant, he was free and in his right mind. The leper who was desperate to go back to his family, who went past social norms to reach out and touch Jesus. This lady, 12 years, touched Jesus. As an unclean person, she should have been yelling in the crowd, unclean, unclean. Yet she pressed through, crawled on her hands and feet under the people. What dream, what situation in your life has died, so to speak? What is it that you can't seem to get past, the breakthrough that you've been waiting for? Maybe that thing that seems dead, hopeless, but it needs to be restored. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it is a physical healing that you need. Throughout his ministry, Jesus gave hope to hopeless situations. Last week, we looked at one of those situations, right? We looked at this guy was being carried on a mat. His friends had to lower him in front of Jesus because there was a faith that even though we can't get in the building, we can cut a hole and we're still going to get him to him. I think about the Roman officer that we talked about a few weeks ago whose servant was sick, and he reached out to Jesus and he said, you don't even have to come. I know just with your spoken word, it can be done. The attacks are the hardest right before the breakthroughs. And the enemy will continue to attack because he can't win, but he's going to try to stumble you up. He's going to try to keep you from getting to where you're supposed to be. Luke 8:51 says, when they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. And the house was filled with people weeping and wailing. In this time period, people like made money off going and being criers at funerals. Crazy. Weep and cry. That'd be a pretty good gig. Let's just go start crying at funerals. Maybe we'll make some money. They would go and weep and they would cry, and it was a big, big thing that they would do. And he tells them to stop. Cut that out. Get out of here. She ain't dead. She's only asleep. And the crowd laughed at him because they all knew that she had died. And Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, my child, get up. And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. And then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. She's going to be cranky. Y'all better give her something to eat now. A nap and a snack fixes everything. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. It says in Matthew, though, it says that news of this spread across the countryside. Because he might have told the parents, don't tell anyone, but all those people who were wailing and crying outside that were getting paid to cry, they're going to go tell everybody. I don't know, they might not have. It would have been bad business, right? This guy brings people back from the dead. But the thing spread throughout the countryside that this man, this Jesus, this guy, he came in and this girl was dead and now she's alive. She's walking around in the house. She's walking around. She's free. She's done. The lady that with 12 years had suffered, and now she's no more suffering. She can live a normal life again. Breakthroughs are coming. Suffering will be turned to peace, and life will be restored to that which seemed dead, whether a dream, a promise, or a relationship. But we have to have the faith that He will do those things. That doesn't mean that you're not going to doubt at times. It doesn't mean that you might not question, is this actually going to happen? It means that we got to keep the faith that He'll do what He said He would do. I believe that we're going to see miracles in this house. I believe that. Just like last year, I believed that we were going to pay that building off. But I will be honest with you, there were some days that I was doubting. There were some days that I was going, I don't know how you're going to do it, God. But I believed that He would, because He said He would. I didn't know how it was going to happen. And there were days that I was going, okay, I hear you, but you need to show up. There's people throughout Scripture that Jesus looks at and he says, do you believe this can happen? I remember He's talking to a dad and He said, do you believe that I can do this? And He said, help me with my disbelief. Help me with my doubts. Jesus wasn't mad that he doubted. Jesus wasn't mad at Thomas that he doubted that Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't scold him. He brought him in and said, touch it. See if I'm not. We have to have the faith to begin with. I believe that God can do great things. I believe that God is going to perform miracles and healings in this place because He said He would. I believe that. Do you believe that? Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I just thank You for today. Let's do it in just a little bit, okay? Let's wait just a minute. Lord, I just thank You for today. I thank You once again for the opportunity that You've given us to gather in Your presence. Lord, I just pray that You just move in this house. I pray that You move in this place, God. I pray that You touch, that You heal, that You deliver in this house, Lord. Lord, I just pray that You begin to move on hearts right now, God. Right now, in this place. Maybe you're here today and you need a healing in your body. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you're facing a hopeless situation and you need hope this morning. I want to invite you to come. Maybe you're facing a situation or a circumstance that just seems hopeless. Maybe it's with a family. Maybe it's with financial needs. Maybe it's a physical need. And you just say, I need help this morning. I need hope. I need Jesus to show up in my life. I know that he can, but I'm doubting this morning. I'm struggling with fear and doubt in this situation, and I need my faith strengthened. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Don't miss it because of pride.